RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms Blood Donor is a humanitarian hero. Fed rate hike in 2016 will disrupt Indonesia for 3 years. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said blood donors are heroes of humanity due to their profession is a very significant contribution to the lives of others. In his remarks at the awarding ceremony of Satya Lencana Social Day for 100 times blood donor voluntary in Bogor, West Java on Friday, the president expressed his highest appreciation and gratitude to the blood donors who have donated blood 100 times. According to the president, this is an invaluable humanitarian action, an affirmation of importance of brotherhood, solidarity and concern for others, as well as reaffirming the sense of solidarity. Indonesian government has predicted that the gradual Fed funds rate hike, which the U.S. Central Bank, the U.S. Federal Reserve, is going to start imposing in 2016, will put pressure on Indonesian economy at least until 2018. According to Indonesian Coordinating Economy First Minister Darmin Nasution, the gradual increases of Fed funds rate would trouble countries that are experiencing current account deficit, such as Indonesia. Speaking at a press gathering in Banten on Tuesday, he said that Indonesia should be aware that the Fed will increase its interest rate by 100 basis points in a year, meaning that there will be pressure, particularly in countries that have current account deficits. According to him, there will be a constant pressure, and this can last 3 years until 2018. Minister Darmin believed that the Fed will increase the rate in each quarter of 2016, in the amount of 25 basis points per quarter. This monetary policy would lead to rupiah volatility in the short term. In the medium term, he said, the government must improve investment to boost economic growth. President Joko Widodo said on Friday, December 18, he will immediately summon the transportation minister after media reported that the minister has banned online ride-hailing service like Gojek. President Joko Widodo said on his official Twitter account at Jokowi, wrote that the regulation need to be managed by not letting people burden because of it. The transportation minister is cracking down on personal vehicles that are used as public transport without licenses and without complying with regulations. Kompas.com reported, citing a senior ministry official, the crackdown has brought a strong public backlash in a country where transport options are limited. Indonesian state-owned enterprises minister Rini Sumarno attended a meeting on Tuesday night, December 17, with House of Representatives Commission 6, overseeing energy affairs to discuss the state capital participation PNM for state-owned electricity company PT PLN in 2016. As you say, in 2015, Minister Rini said that the change is expected to address power deficit issues and to maintain Indonesian assistance through power infrastructure development in border areas and the state outer islands. Early PLN projects to be funded by the state budget included transmission facilities and manpower houses that would cost 4.27 trillion rupiah, or around $305 million. While the Stan fuel power plant in Bangkalan Susu would be financed by equity, the plan was then changed, in which the equity was to be used to finance several power plant projects such as Jati Gede hydropower plant, Grati gas and steam fuel power plant, and Lontar steam fuel power plant. Indonesian Consumers Foundation YLKI urged the Minister of Transportation and local authorities to improve public transport services following the ban on motorcycle taxis and transportation-based applications. Chairman of the Executive Committee of YLKI, Tulus Abadi, in a press release on Friday said that normatively motorcycle did not meet the technical specification as a human public transport and do not meet safety standards. But YLKA assessed that the government cannot prohibit the motorcycle taxi if it is capable of providing access to the public transport, especially considering safety and security in public transport and traffic jam in Jakarta. The last item, Jakarta Composite Index JCI, plummeted 1.4% at the Friday's opening to 4,594.59, while the rupiah retreated 0.2%, 26 points to 14,035 rupiah per US dollar as profit taking action swept the market. Realizing gains previously scored on Tuesday trading, an analyst at First Asia Capital, David Nathaniel, said that the GCI's decline today was due to market woes. Responding to the global oil price drop, which was followed by other commodity prices. Thus, profit takings today promptly wanted yesterday's increase. On Tuesday closing, the Bourse Index rose 72.5 points, or around 1.62%, to 4,554.96, responding to the U.S. Federal Reserve decision to increase its benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points to 0.5%, the pace increase since 2006. David said that the market had perceived that the Fed's measure was in line with expectation, prompting a foreign investor net buy of around 1.13 trillion rupiah or 80.6 million US dollar in the local market yesterday. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here's commentary entitled "Will Japanese Military Be Defensive?" The Japanese constitution has been changed since Japan admitted defeat in World War II, on which the Japanese army no longer acted as an offensive military, but being troops of a defensive martial soldier. The situation is no longer the same. Since September 2015, when the Japanese parliament enacted its National Security Act, the law allows the Japanese military to assist its allies. Some reactions come up from home and abroad on the enactment. Asian countries that have experienced military occupations of Japan reacted to oppose the enacted law. Under the new law of Japan, the People's Republic of China perceives that expanding military role for Japan abroad may jeopardize peace in East Asian region. China's defense ministry warns Japan to learn from the past. China and Japan relations have been strained by claims over the Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea. South Korea, whose relationship with Japan is heating up, also warns Japan that the implementation of the law should be approved by its neighbors. In contrast, positive response on the enactment actually comes from close allies of Japan, namely the United States and European countries. British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond said that with the law, Japan will be more active in maintaining peace. By some reaction, Professor Shin Kawamura from the University of Tokyo, in an interview with media from Indonesia on last Wednesday in Tokyo, assumed that the domestic and foreign reactions were excessive. According to Professor Kawamura, the Japanese people are concerned over the fear due to conscription. There's no change in attitude and orientation of Japan in the new law, which will be effective in March to April 2016. It is recognized that the law allows the military conflict prevention through the Japan-U.S. alliance. However, Professor Kawamura did not dismiss when questioned that one of the factors that led to the enactment of this law was a response to the aggressive demeanor of China in Asian region.
The law also includes the rights of collective self-defense in which Japanese military force can help friendly countries. There are three conditions for Japan to send troops abroad, such as in the event of a direct attack against Japan, or attacks to friendly countries that could threaten Japan and its people, or if there is no other way to at least counter or use military force. Indonesia can take advantage of the law. There is the possibility of military cooperation with Japan. Indonesian delegation consisting of Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defense was in Japan on last Thursday to discuss cooperation that can be forged with the Japanese side, with the participation of Japan for Peace. It is necessary for Indonesia to appreciate it. Japan, according to Professor Kawamura, can participate in mediation in the South China Sea conflict. However, this means that in East Asia, there are new players of old styles in the geopolitics of the region. What Indonesia has to watchfully anticipate if this Security Act is effective is that conflict may tend to happen more seriously between Japan and neighboring countries in the region. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event occurred on December 18, 1973, Sumantri Brodjonegoro passed away. Professor Sumantri Brodjonegoro is a professor of chemistry technique, Bandung Technology Institute, ITB, who then served Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources of Republic of Indonesia in 1967 to 1973, and also former Minister of Education and Culture in 1973. He also served as University of Indonesia Rector. Sumantri Brodjonegoro passed away in Jakarta on December 18, 1973, in 47 years old, when he installed as the 6th UI Rector in 1964, on the age of 38 years, he recorded a history of the youngest UI Rector, or the youngest University of Indonesia Rector. His name was immortalized in some places such as Sudirman Mountain of Papua Province, namely Sumantri Brodjonegoro Mountain Peak and Sumantri Brodjonegoro Sports Stadium in Kuningan, South Jakarta, as well as the name of road at UI Campus Depok, West Java. On December 18, 1912, Piltdown Human found by Charles Dawson. The Piltdown Man was a paleontological hoax in which bone fragments were presented as the fossilized remains of a previously unknown early human. The Latin name Eurynthropus Dawsoni was given to the specimen. The significance of the specimen remained the subject of controversy until it was exposed in 1953 as a forgery consisting of the lower jawbone of an orangutan deliberately combined with the cranium of a fully developed modern human. At a meeting of the Geological Society of London on December 18, 1912, Charles Dawson claimed that a workman at the Piltdown gravel pit had given him a fragment of the skull 4 years earlier. According to Dawson, workmen at the site discovered the skull shortly before his visit and broke it up in the belief that it was a fossilized coconut. Revisiting the site on several occasions, Dawson found further fragments of the skull and took them to Arthur Smith Woodward, keeper of the Geological Department at the British Museum. Greatly interested by the finds, Woodward accompanied Dawson to the site. Though the two worked together between June and September 1912,
dozen alone recovered more skull fragments and half of the lower jaw bone. We conclude with the last historical event on December 18, 1958. The first satellite for telecommunication was launched. Project SCORE, or Signal Communications by Orbiting Relay Equipment, was the world's first communication satellite, launched aboard an American Atlas rocket on December 18, 1958. SCORE provided a first test of a communications relay system in space, as well as the first successful use of the Atlas as a launch vehicle. It captured world attention by broadcasting a Christmas message via shortwave radio from U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower through an onboard tape recorder. SCORE, as a geopolitical strategy, placed the United States at an even technological par with the Soviet Union as a highly functional response to the Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2 satellites. Listener, that was Today in History, brought to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past. Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Focus from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we'll talk about the government will take over Umrah. Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, Minister of Religious Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the government will not take over the implementation of pilgrimage or Umrah pilgrimage. He said the Ministry of Religious Affairs will indeed form a special directorate which takes care of organizing Umrah. However, it does not mean the Ministry of Religious Affairs will immediately organize Umrah. According to him, not really news that the government would take over the organization of pilgrimage. He also asserted that the government, in this case the Ministry of Religious Affairs, is not able to host the Umrah. However, the religious ministry to see that the current priority should preferable not be the organizer but rather strengthen the regulatory system of Umrah. One of them, setting up the rules relating to the minimum fee limits for the implementation of the pilgrimage. He explained Act No. 13 of 2008 concerning Hajj said that the government could also be organizing Umrah. However, this time the Ministry of Religion is more focused to fix the system implementation Umrah, such fixing the regulatory management and supervision of the implementation of the Umrah. Therefore, Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said, the Ministry of Religion still provide the opportunity for the private sector to be the organizers of Umrah, but should the system more accountable and transparent. It is hoped, according to religious minister, society no longer impaired by the act of a few people on behalf of the organizers of pilgrimage, but actually want to make a profit by doing acts of fraud and so forth. In the view of the chairman of the House of Representative Commission 8, DPR, Saleh Partaunan Daulay, the primary responsibility of the Ministry of Religious Affairs is organizing the pilgrimage. Therefore, the Ministry of Religious Affairs should focus on the organization of the Hajj, because much remains to be addressed. If Umrah also addressed the government, they take care of time. Because Partaunan Daulay said there are more than 1 million pilgrims a year. Meanwhile, Chairman of Rabita Hajj Indonesia, Ade Marfuddin, also reminded the government to focus on the organization of the Hajj, because there are so many issues that need to be addressed. If the Hajj implementation is perfect, should take over Umrah.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo said blood donors are heroes of humanity due to their profession is a very significant contribution to the lives of others. Indonesian government has predicted the gradual Fed funds rate hike, which the U.S. Central Bank, the U.S. Federal Reserve, is going to start imposing in 2016, will put pressure on Indonesian economy at least until 2018. President Joko Widodo said on Friday, December 18, he will immediately summon the transportation minister after media reported that the minister had banned online ride-hailing services like Gojek. Indonesian state-owned enterprises minister Rini Sumarno attended a meeting on Tuesday night, December 17, with House of Representatives Commission 6, Opposition Energy First, to discuss the state capital participation (PMN) for state-owned electricity company PT PLN in 2015. Indonesian Consumer Foundation (YLKA) urged the Minister of Transportation and Local Tourism to improve public transport services following the ban on motorcycle taxis and transportation-based applications. Jakarta Composite Index (JCI) plummeted 1.4% at the Friday's opening to 4,591.59, while the rupiah retreated 0.2%. 26 point to 14,035 rupiah per US dollar as profit taking action swept the market, realizing gains previously scored on Tuesday trading. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the province of Riau Islands. So stay tuned. Listener, Bintan is the largest island in the Riau Islands province, Sumatra. Tanjung Pinang is the capital city of the province. The island has about 3,000 large and small islands, stretches across Singapore and Johor Bahru, Malaysia. Therefore, many people come to Bintan for maritime traveling. The favorite tourist destination here is Bintan Resort, a tourist destination in the form of a spectacular beach in the north of the island with an area of 23,000 hectares on the white sand that adjacent to the South China Sea. In addition, there is also Sakera Beach. This beautiful beach is very popular among Bintan residents as well as foreign tourists. Sakera Beach is located in Sebung Perah Village, Tanjung Uban District. From Tanjung Uban City, the beach can be reached in less than 20 minutes. However, if the travel starts from Tanjung Pinang, it will take much longer, which is about 2 hours, because the distance is quite long. When arrive at Sakera Beach, you will find a beach with clear seawater because of the clear and clean. No wonder if the beach become favorite area for visitors to swim, bath, and performing various beach sport. Listener, Sakera Beach has a fairly complete facilities. If you visit here, you can hire the tire to swim or playing canoe that can contain up to 3 people with a tariff of 20,000 rupiah per hour. For those who like fishing, you can rent a boat named Pompong Traditional Fishing and boating out to the sea. According to local residents, Sakera Beach area is rich in marine fish. If you do not want wets and just want to relax, you can sit back in the tiny wooden gazebos along the shoreline. While relaxing, you can order a wide range of local foods and beverages. There are widely available simple food stalls around the beach. If you want to request the local foods, you should try otak otang sotong, the food made of cuttlefish. In other regions, the otak otak food is made of fish, but in Sakera Beach, the food is made of cuttlefish. It was certainly different. The price is only 1,000 rupiah per piece. Welcoming dusk. Do not move out from the Sakera Beach because the beach has a beautiful panoramic sunset. The best time to visit Sakera Beach is in the afternoon. In Bintan, there are Sakera Beach and Kampung Bugis Beach that have beautiful and stunning panoramic sunset. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sakera Beach in Bintan Island. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with Mirrahma. Today, we present you the history of Lenong. Lenong is a traditional theater art or Betawi folk play in Betawi dialect, which comes from Jakarta, Indonesia. The traditional art is accompanied with gambang kromong music or traditional Betawi music ensemble with musical instruments like gambang, kromong, gong, kendang, kempor, suling, and kecrekan, as well as Chinese-influenced musical instruments such as tehian, kongahyang, and sukong. In general, scenario of Lenong contains moral messages, namely helping the weak, as well as hating greediness and bad deeds. The language used in Lenong is Malay or now Indonesian language with Betawi dialect. Lenong Betawi has been known since 1920s. Lenong performance usually begins with Betawi songs like Kicir Kicir, Cente Manis, Surilang, Keramat Karim, and Balo Balo. The story presented in Lenong Betawi is usually about daily life like marriage, life, love relationship, landlord, tough guys, and many more. The story certainly go along with jokes to make it fun and lively. Lenong has developed since the age of 19th century or early 20th century. The theatrical art may be adaptation of similar art like noble comedy and Stambul theater, which has existed at that time. In addition, Firman Muntako, Betawi artist, revealed that Lenong developed from gambang kromong music theatrical process. There are two types of Lenong, namely Lenong Danes and Lenong Preman. The word Danes in Lenong Danes in Betawi dialect means dinas or official. The actors and actresses usually wear formal clothes and the story takes the setting of kingdom or noble's environment. While in Lenong Preman, the clothes are not set by director. The story is about daily life. Having gone through tough era in 1970s, modified Lenong art started performing regularly at Taman Ismail Marzuki Cultural Center, Jakarta. Besides using modern theater in its plot and stage layout, the revitalized Lenong does not take all night long anymore, but 2 or 3 hours. Furthermore, Lenong became popular on TV, broadcast in a public TV station, TVRI, since 1970s. In the past, Lenong Betawi was for royal family and nobles. From the environment, there's an expression, Kaya Raja Lenong, or like the King of Lenong. This satire is for people with feudal style. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the history of Lenong. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a dangdut singer, Ratu Dewi Kartika. To begin our program, let's listen to a song by Ratu Dewi Kartika entitled Jangan Cinta Semalam. Happy listening.
Tak pernah ku sangka bertemu denganmu. Jalani kisah tentang cinta. Walaupun ini hanya sekejap mata, tak ku sangka semua itu indah. Tetap hatimu, meluk indahmu, rasakan hangat cintaku. Oh sayang, hanya untuk malam ini.
Ratu Dewi Kartika, or known as Ratu Idola, was born in Bogor, West Java, on July 7, 1989. Ratu Dewi Kartika is the first winner of Wali Cari Idola Search Talent in 2013. Before getting engaged in dangdut music, Ratu released several albums but still in pop music. However, as dangdut music is on the rise, Ratu moves into the music which usually goes along with dance. Ratu, the newcomer in dangdut music, is still phenomenal because of her single Cinta Oplosan is so lovable among dangdut music lovers in the country. So why don't we listen to the song then, Ratu Idola with Cinta Oplosan. Listener, the song Cinta Oplosan that we just listened tells about men who like saying love easily. The dangdut koplo composed by Yogi Gaijin turns out to be the same as the singer's personal story. The song Cinta Oplosan has a deep meaning for Ratu, who has been singing since the age of 5. That's why Ratu calls this song a warning for women and satire for men. Well, listener, to end the program, here are two dangdut songs entitled Nikah Dulu and Dibalas Dusta. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Dangdut Music Corner.
Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Sudah berapa kali kau menyakiti aku, sudah berapa kali kau mendustai aku. Berkali-kali ku bilang lupakan saja diriku, berkali-kali ku bilang pergi saja kau dariku. Cinta matiku, kau balas dustamu. Jalan, jalan, jalan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.